Heavenly Father, Lord God, I praise you, Father, and I just ask you to fill this sanctuary with your presence. Father, we come here because we come here to encounter you, to have a fuller relationship with you, to worship you and to lift you up. This is your house. Father, we gather to thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us. Father, this morning I ask that you would diminish me, that I would be set aside, Father, so every word that I spoke is passed through the Holy Spirit, Father, and I just praise you. And I ask that the hearts would be open to your message today. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right. I want to ask, have you ever gone after something in your life really hard? Something that you really wanted, your heart was just dying for it. There's a running joke in my house about a new GMC truck that I can't afford. Beautiful, you know, but all kidding aside, my heart isn't breaking for that truck because I refuse to give $60,000 for a pickup truck. Yes. But there are things in our life that we truly, truly desire. Think about back over your life a little bit. Maybe it was a car that you really wanted that was in your price range. Something that you really desired to have. So you look into it, you check prices, you shop around. Maybe it was a new job. Maybe it was the job, your dream job that you really wanted to have. Or maybe where you work now is a promotion that you wanted to have. The next step up the ladder or the next job on the job line, something you really desired. Maybe it's a weight loss goal. You really want to work to lose that weight, to get down to that healthy place that the doctor wants you to be. So what would you do to get started, to make this happen? Would you give it your best effort? Of course you would. Would you focus all your energies on it? Yes. How about thinking about it day and night? That might be a stretch, but some of you might. Would you devise a plan or a strategy to get there, to get it? Would you stick with it till you accomplish that goal? You know, I remember a pursuit in my life. I wanted a promotion at work. I wanted this job that I did on and off. They called it circling up. I do this job on and off, and when that job opened up, I knew I wanted it. And I did everything I could to get it. I studied the job. I took the tests. I made sure I knew enough that I could get a good score on the tests. And it paid off in the long run. And if there's a job out there that you want, would you look into the company, find out all you could before you went and put in your application? Of course you would. You'd be willing to put in the effort and the time it took to accomplish that goal, to achieve something in your life that your heart really desires. We all have these pursuits. You know, maybe I didn't mention yours, but you have them. Those things you desire, the things you want, the things that give us a drive to accomplish them. So what kind of change would such a pursuit make in our lives? A lot. We have goals. And think about how good it feels to achieve that goal. So what about if we gave that effort in our relationship with God? What if we went hard after God, after we went after those things in our lives that we really desire? That promotion, the new job, the weight loss, the GMC Denali truck that I'm not getting. Just think of the change it would make if we went all out for God. Think about the change in your prayer life. How would that change? How about in your relationships and your family? What about your priorities in life? Would those change if you went all out for God? You better believe it. What about your spending habits? Now, there's one nobody wants to talk about. But that would change if you went all out for God, because the GMC trucks wouldn't mean anything, but to reaching out and helping would. The use of your money. What about church attendance? All of a sudden, those things that cause us to skip church maybe wouldn't be so important anymore. And God would rise up in our priorities till He truly was number one. What about our burden for the lost? There's another hard one. I believe if we went all out for God, our thoughts would change, our hearts would change, and our burden for the lost would grow. It would overpower those selfish desires that we have in our life. I can't help believe it if all of us went all out for God, went hard after God, our lives would be topsy-turvy. They would change. This church would change and our community would change. Be all head over heels. Let me tell you why I believe this and what's on my heart this morning, what has been in my prayers. I've been reading Psalms a lot, and I believe this church is on the verge of a change. This church has had some good things happen. We've had some missteps. But I believe we're right on the edge of changing to make a difference, of growing. And I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about growing in our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and where we fit in this community around us. I believe that God wants to use us in a powerful way. But we have to go hard after God and make Him priority one in our lives to understand and know what He expects of us and where He wants us to go and how He wants us to get there. You know, you guys all know me. You know the things that's happened in the last year in my life. And no one can hear, can tell me that it wasn't God that took the cancer out of my body. Doctors don't know how it happened. But God blesses us. Maybe not all of us in that dramatic manner, but in the little ways, the everyday ways. And I believe those are more important than the great big aha, this was God moment. But the little ways that He touches us every day. I can't get any more specific than that about the way I feel. But I just feel God's about to reach out and take a hold of each and every one of us if we go hard after Him. So what does it take? Let's turn to Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. It says, O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your grace, Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I will meditate on You in the night watches. Because You have been my help, therefore in the shadow of Your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. My right hand upholds me. There are a few things that we need to know from these verses. You know, so many times God has if and then statements. And that happens here in this psalm. The first thing is we have to know where we are. We have to know where we are in our lives. We have to know where we are as a church. David wrote this when he was in the desert of Judah. And he knew all too well where he was at. He was in a desert. He was in a wilderness. Verse 1 describes it as a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Now, David was raised in this area. He was raised around here. He knew what it was like to be in that desert and how valuable water was and what thirst was that comes over you. So going hard after God often begins with a point of reference to know where we are right now, where we stand in our relationship with God, until we recognize that we ourselves are dry and weary souls and in need of cool water to relieve our thirst, then we can't move forward. We can all think we're happy in our circumstances, and we might be. But in a relationship with God, we have to know that a lot of times that we are dry and thirsty. See, one thing you can say about David, he didn't see mirages. He didn't look out over the desert and see watering holes and things. He knew where he was and what he was. He knew the situation for what it was, that he needed the Lord. He had that spiritual thirst that only the Lord could give him the water to quench his thirst. See, many Christians, we live in a dry and barren place, and we don't know it. We're just fat, dumb, and happy. We go through life with blinders on. We don't look inside. We don't see that spiritual emptiness, that spiritual desert that we're in. We can't accept the fact that we're not in control of our lives. We're being pulled apart by the world around us. They believe that we're just fine. We're good the way we are. We're like that church at Laodicea. It says in Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I could stand up here in front of you and say that I'm rich, poor, blind, and naked. Say, hey, you got clothes on. But we're talking about the spiritual. Because we accomplish so much in our lives. You know, I accomplished that job I wanted. I got the promotion. And I could think, look at me. I moved up a step. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. It had nothing to do with me when you get right down to it. It had to do with God and God's blessings on my life. I can look at my house sitting up there on the hill on 541 and say, that belongs to me. Look what I've accomplished. No, that's not mine. That belongs to God. But I can have that thought in my head that all those things are mine, and I think I'm wealthy and I'm blessed, and I'm not. Because in my spirit, I'm still in that barren place. I've shunned God because I claim it all as my own. Sometimes a church can get those false perceptions. We can think as a church, look how good we are. We come in here and pray on Sunday mornings, and we have Thanksgiving celebrations, and we're going to celebrate Christmas. But those are just things. If our heart isn't in the right place, if our spirit is not in the right place, we're not blessing God in what we do as a church. So many Christians today attend church on Sunday morning and they pray. They may worship a little bit in songs, then they turn around and they go out the doors. On Sunday afternoon, they think they're right with God for the week. They're in a dry and barren place. Because God wants us to praise Him every day of our lives, to worship Him every day of our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to call us into account of just how dry and barren we are. So let's look around. Is everything bright and green, growing? Are the lost finding God here at our altar? Are the sinners turning from their sins and accepting God and asking repentance? Are lives being changed in this church by the power of the Holy Spirit? If not, that means that we as a church are in that dry and barren place. This church serves one function. And that's to help sinners. It's to find the lost and help the lost. It's to meet the need of each other. And just because you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior doesn't mean you're no longer in need. All you did was start a journey. That's the first step. And as a church, we're supposed to be here to hold people's hands when they stumble. That's what gets us out of that dry and barren place. Then we need a resource. You know, that's hard for us to do as men and women, to be faithful to God, to reach out that helping hand, to meet the needs of the people around us. But there's a resource available, and we all know who that is. But we fail to reach out to him in the Spirit. See, the first words out of his mouth was, "Oh God, you are my God." Maybe we ought to start every day with that. Oh God, you are my God. And acknowledge who he is and get us in the right frame of mind to build our heart up for that day in the Spirit. See, first David acknowledged the presence of God, even there in that spiritual wilderness. In Psalm 139, he says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." You know what that means? God is everywhere. You can't run from God. God is there when you get up in the morning. God is there when you're in your deepest despair. And God is there when you're on the highest heights rejoicing in who you are or maybe what you possess. God is right there. And King David knew that. He accepted that and acknowledged that. You see, God is a personal God. He was the God of David. But he is also your personal God. You can claim him as your personal God because he's there wherever you're at. He's here today because you're here today. When you leave here today and get in your cars, he's with you in your cars. When you go to your house, he's in your house. So this is where we have to go next in our pursuit of God. We have to acknowledge him as our only hope and our resource. We're not going to find our way out without his help. You know, I don't know where you guys are in your lives today. I don't know what problems you face. But until you acknowledge God as the source of your help, you're not going to move forward. You may think you are, because we struggle on as human beings. And I don't know, the joke about men being hard-headed may not hold true in your house, but I know it does in mine. And I try to do things on my own before I finally acknowledge the fact that I need help. And it should be that way in our spiritual lives. We should be willing every day to acknowledge we need the help of God to move forward. Even if you get up happy, singing like a lark, you still need to acknowledge God in your life and start out in prayers, "God, help me get through this day." We need help. We need God's help. Psalm 18, verse 6, it says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." You know, I don't know how you look at the Bible, but I look at the Bible as promises of God. If in that psalm it says that we cry out and he hears us, to me, that means that he hears us. We're not put on hold or ignored on a call. He's there. He hears us. It will take a deliberate act of turning our lives to God, to going hard after him. Not a quick, casual prayer at the altar or a quick prayer in the morning just to say I've accomplished that and I'm out the door. It has to be a genuine, heartfelt effort, a genuine, heartfelt conversation with God every day. And then we have to set our hearts to meet that goal. It says, early will I seek you. I've thought about this for a while. And it's not necessarily the hour of the day. Although getting up in the morning first thing in prayer and worshiping God's a good thing. But I think this phrase means to be making God the first priority. Early means the first, the priority in our life, which tends to make me believe that it tumbles over not just in the morning, but into our whole day. Make God priority one every day, every hour of every day. You have to make decisions. Somehow we've got the idea that we only pray and ask God when we make these big decisions in our life. But that's just not true. God wants to be involved in every decision that you have to make. He wants to help you decide which is the right thing to do, which is the right path, who do we reach out to. You know, I struggle in my life sometimes with demands that people put on my life, and I'm worried that I'm going to make a wrong choice. But I shouldn't have that worry. If I make God priority one, allow Him to lead me in making those choices. That's, once again, that's Mike getting in the road of God's work, because I'm just not listening. But God's right there. If I cry out, He'll hear me. He'll help me take that next step. We should say, my soul thirsts for you in every decision that we make, every place that we reach out. I want to know, have we really been serious about our pursuit of God? I want us to get us in that frame of mind that we're thinking, did I really, really make Him number one every day? Have any of you ever been so thirsty that you couldn't wait to get a glass of water? I don't mean just that little thirst that we have, I'll get a drink, I'll get out of my easy chair and go out to the kitchen. But have you ever been so thirsty and there wasn't any water around? I remember hunting one day and I was so thirsty I was contemplating drinking out of the watering trough on the farm. But that same watering trough is where we kept crawdads and put the catfish to clean them before we cooked them, so I rejected that. But I was so thirsty, I didn't know if I was going to make it up to the house, to the hose, and get a drink. Think about that. That's how you should thirst after God. When you don't know if you can possibly get there in time to quench your thirst. It would be great if we'd wake up every morning and reach for God like we do that first cup of coffee or that first drink of water or whatever it is you desire in the mornings. That would be great. And the same thing with hunger. It would be so great if we hunger after God the way I hungered after those smells coming out of the sanctuary, out of the fellowship hall today. That smells great over there. But God should be that way for us. That hunger, that thirst, that desire. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." God's word said if we hunger in that way, we will be filled. That's a promise. But again, we can't go off half-hearted. We have to go hard after God, reaching out. Jesus said in John chapter 4, 34, He said to disciples, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." thought about that one. Jesus was basically saying, my strength comes from doing the will of God. My strength comes from accomplishing what he set out for me to do. And that's what fills me up. And that's how we should be in our pursuit of God. Our hunger for God should far surpass the bread that we eat every day. And then there's always the results. As I said, many times it gives us, if you do this, then this is what you're going to receive. So if we thirst after God, like we're in a desert, if we hunger after God, like that's the only thing that can sustain our body, then we get these promises that God has made to us, these blessings that he pours out upon us. Once we thirst after God and we pursue after God, we'll see his power and glory displayed in our lives like never before. This is the promise of God. This just doesn't come from me. It comes from his holy word. The secret to find those blessings and those things that happen is your relationship, your thirst for God. You'll find new freedom in praise and worship. See, David's heart was worn with a new awareness of God. In that psalm, he knew that his thirst would be quenched by a holy God. And it wouldn't matter that he was in that dry, barren desert. Look at our lives. Maybe your life is dry and barren right now. And if you accomplish these things, if you turn to God and you go to God, you'll be refreshed. God moves in power among us, and you'll see things start to happen, just as they did for the disciples, just as they did for our fathers and our mothers. We'll talk about an inner satisfaction. It's hard to put it into words other than, have you ever been in a rut in your life? Things just never seem to change. Every day you're putting one foot in front of the other. You get up, you drink your coffee, you go to work. You come home. You do your chores around the house, you eat your supper, you watch a little TV, you read your Bible, whatever your routine is. Every day you have that same routine. Nothing ever seems to change, and you're finding no joy in your routine. That's being in a rut. But what about if we went hard after God and we praised him and we acknowledged him? How do you think that rut of your life would change? All of a sudden, the fire would come back. Maybe in your workplace, you'd work for Jesus. You'd be that light of Christ shining wherever you work. And all of a sudden, your work routine is going to change because you've got the joy of Christ, because you're letting him shine through. What about at home in the evenings? How would that change? You wouldn't be in your rut anymore. I believe that if we went hard after God, we read our Bibles and we prayed and we established that close relationship with him, all of a sudden, men, we'd become better husbands. We'd become better fathers. We'd become better friends. And women, you're not off the hook either. I believe that you'd be better wives, better mothers, better friends to your husband. And what about the neighbors on either side of us? That rut would change because all of a sudden the light of Christ would be pouring out of our windows. And we desire to go out into the yard. We desire to go meet our neighbors and tell them about our Lord and our Savior. And all of a sudden that rut's gone because now we're walking with the power of Christ and we're making a difference in those around us. Now all of a sudden that spills over into your prayer life. And that prayer life gets stronger and stronger, and your relationship gets closer and closer to our Lord. And that spills into the church. All of a sudden, we're walking together, unified by Christ, with a single purpose, a single desire, a desire for the lost, the desire to reach out and help each other in our time of needs. All of a sudden, we have the answers to the problems. We have the answers of what we're to do. And now, that spills out into the streets around this church. People notice the goings on, the people in coming and going. They see things happening. And that spreads out through the town. Am I aiming high? I don't think so. I think all this takes is for us today to look inside and recognize where we're at. I can't stand here and say that you all are in a dry and barren place, but I can ask you to be honest with yourselves. Take some time to pray and to look at your life. Are you in a rut? Do you have the blues? Yeah, the blues are just, sometimes you just don't feel yourself, but you don't know why. That's because you're in a dry and a barren place. And God offers us a way out. He says, turn to me. He says, I'll give you freedom. I'll give you peace. I'll give you strength and I'll give you joy. It's all right here. Right here for us to read and to grow. Psalm 4:8, it says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How's that for a promise? You can have a peaceful sleep. He says, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Psalm 63:7. What does that mean? The shadow of your wings. That means our relationship with God is so strong that we're like the chicks under a mother hen's wing. We're safe. We know we're safe and we can rejoice because nothing can get to us. Isaiah said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stay on you because he trusts in you. There's no safer place in the pursuit of the Lord. Perfect peace. And all that requires is our mind is on Him. This calls for a change in our lives. You hate change? Sometimes I do too. But look what you have to accomplish. Look what you can achieve if we'll take this moment and examine ourselves. Let's all stand together. You know, there's no time like the present. I just want you to bow your heads and talk to God. This altar's open. Anyone that would like to come up here and pray, if you'd like someone to pray with you, I'll pray with you. Any of the deacons, grab someone's hand. But I really, truly want you to take this time. It would be great to start it out with, oh God, you are my Father. God, you are my God. You know, a message like this can have several results. There's that group that said that, Pastor, it's okay. Don't rock the boat. We're okay and we like things the way they are. I hope you're not one of those. There's that group that'll say, Pastor, that's a good idea. And I hope people get on board. But they don't see themselves in the situation. They don't see their need because they're not being honest. Not being honest with ourselves and not being honest with God. Then there's a third group. It's a group who will say, Pastor, that's just what we need. They'll say, this is what I need. And they'll take those steps, whatever it is, to discover where they're at in their relationship with God. If they're standing in that dry desert, or they're moving forward. So as you pray, I just want you to ask God to help you to find out which group you're in. Are you satisfied with your level of commitment to God? Or do you want to make a change? Do you want to reach out for those promises that God gives us in this psalm? Then ask yourself, what will it take for me to move forward? What will it take for me to make those changes in my life? And ask yourself if you're willing to pay the price. Maybe there's someone here today that's never even made a commitment to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, today is the day. There's no time like the present to reach out. This is a place for you to start that relationship with Him and start those changes in your life. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just praise You and I lift You up. For God, You are my God. God, You are the God of this church. This church is Yours, Father. All that's in it. The people that are in this church are Yours, Father, because You are spiritual, Father. You created each and every one of us. Father, it's my prayer this morning that hearts would be open, that we'd be willing to examine ourselves. We'd be willing to listen and to act on what You have to tell us, Father. Father, I pray for that next giant step that this church is going to take, Father. I just pray that our eyes will be open to You, our hearts will be unified as You send us out on the tasks that You have for this body of believers. Father, I pray for the lost. I ask that You would prepare them as we go out and that we would be able to meet with them, Father, and they would hear our words. That You would cause them to understand. And through Your power and Your name, they will come in and they will learn about Christ our Savior. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen.